As we turn to God's word together, let's pray. Father, speak to us through your word. Seal the truths of it on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Part of the changes that the coronavirus has brought has included seeing people on television rather than being in their studios giving interviews at home, often in studies. But this has led to unexpected interruptions, often from kids. And these can create news in themselves. But possibly the unexpected interruption that created the most news and feedback was in Spain. This wasn't from children deciding they didn't want to be ignored. It was when a news presenter, Alfonso Merlo, was live. When he was live, a half-naked girl came into the room. Yet it wasn't that the girl was half-naked that caused the real discussion. It was who she was. She wasn't Alonso's girlfriend, Marta Lopez, another well-known TV personality, but someone else. And as far as everyone was aware, Alonso was with Marta Lopez. And apparently this wasn't just the audience's understanding, but also Marta Lopez's. Despite his later denials, Alonso had been caught cheating during a live broadcast, and people felt he'd done things the wrong way. He'd not made sure he did things the right way. He'd not sorted out one relationship before starting on another, and that this was wrong. Well, in today's passage, we'll see a direct contrast to this. Boaz makes every effort to do things the right way, even when it will cost him. And it could cost him what he really wants. He will be true to his relationship with God and true to the people around him, whatever the cost. The passage starts with Naomi beginning to think and take initiative. She's starting to stop grieving and think of the future. Ruth's success gathering leftovers from the harvest and finding favor with Boaz has got her thinking. She knows Ruth has been a blessing to her and wants to find a home so she has a definite future, and feels that as the head of the household, as there are no men, that responsibility falls to her. And it's particularly true because no kinsman redeemer has turned up to help with this. Kinsman redeemers were supposed to redeem land and pay a price for it for their family. They were also supposed to protect family and redeem them from slavery. But so far, no kinsman redeemer has come near to do this. On top of this, for Naomi, there was the question of whether it was possible and how to redeem the family name. For Naomi, it was a disgrace that there were no living descendants. This meant her, and particularly her husband, Elimelech's names were likely to be forgotten. There were no future generations with a duty to remember them. It was possible for a kinsman redeemer to have the firstborn from her or Ruth maintain the family name. This was particularly true as the whole clan was descended from Perez. Perez was born because Tamar, his mother, in Genesis 38, was so concerned she bore heirs that she did one or two things we'd probably describe as a little dodgy. She was married to the son of Judah, but he died. And when the second son of Judah decided not to do his duty and enable her to have an heir, he also died. And because of this, Judah did not give her his third son. But Tamar, pretending to be a prostitute, got Judah to lie with her and became pregnant with twins. When Judah was annoyed that Tamar was pregnant, he found she'd kept evidence of who the father was, and then declared she was more righteous than him. That she, despite her rather dodgy means of getting children, was more righteous than him who had denied her the opportunity. She had been the one focused on redeeming the family name and her husband. Now, Perez was the first of the twins born to Tamar, and the clan of Elimelech and Boaz is descended from Perez. It meant that clan would have a very high regard for the family line, as they would not exist except Tamar took her duties seriously and produced twins to maintain Ur's family line. So, at the same time, Ruth has met and likes Boaz. Boaz is a suitable match and could serve as a kinsman redeemer. But it's not supposed to be his responsibility. If Naomi goes through normal channels, Boaz is unlikely to be directly involved. She ought to go direct to Elimelech's closest family member, the one that's not turned up, the one that's not taken an interest. And legally, there's actually no direct responsibility, because he's not a brother living in the same house, for him to do anything about the family line. So Naomi hatches a plan. It's one of those times when there's no obvious plan. Everything she does has some good points and some bad points. You often come across this maybe with farms when trying to balance budgets during droughts, or the business of government, having to balance budgets with other things. For example, with the coronavirus, the shutdown to keep people safe has cost many jobs, which can't be avoided in the circumstances. And this plan of Naomi's is particularly risky. It's got its good points, but it's got its bad points. As will be obvious, she tells Ruth to go to the threshing floor, which was not where women were supposed to be, and where the men would be jolly having had food and alcohol. She tells Ruth to avoid being seen, to wait until Boaz lies down to sleep, to uncover his feet and lie at them. This plan obviously leaves Ruth, who's still a foreigner, although she's committed to the Israelite God, particularly vulnerable. If she's discovered by anyone else, what happens? Especially in that environment where people have been drinking. And it also puts her at Boaz's mercy when he does discover her. It relies on Boaz's integrity and God's blessing. Yet, despite the risks, Ruth goes ahead, obeys Naomi's instructions. She goes ahead because she wants God's provision for them. So, what can we say about Naomi's plan? My instinctive reaction is she could have devised a better one, but it's not particularly wise. But it's easier to say that than to do it. I don't know what else Naomi could think of, could do. But there's actually something much more important here. And it's good. Naomi and Ruth have seen the hope of redemption, of saving the family name, and have gone for it. They've seen God providing for them. They've seen hope. They've seen something better. And they've gone after it. They've sought it, trusting in God's provision. And we, in Jesus, actually have that provision of God, that redemption that leads to restored relationship with him through Jesus dying and rising from the dead for us. That means we're part of God's family and we will see God's provision, both in day-to-day things and also in the ultimate provision that is life with Jesus in eternity. And we'll see this relationship with God in Boaz's response. He wakes up in the middle of the night and there's a woman lying at his feet. He's startled. He wonders what's going on. So he asks, Who are you? And Ruth responds, if you look at verse 9, I'm your servant Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer. Ruth asks for Boaz to take her under his protection, to marry her, as he is her kinsman redeemer. She has made herself vulnerable, refers to herself as Boaz's servant. And obviously there's temptation here for both of them to get on with the relationship, to go further than just talking. And it's certainly not a position to put yourself in unless you trust the integrity of the other person. But Boaz, as the story demonstrates, does have integrity. Not only does he avoid having sex with Ruth there and then, an obvious temptation, and one that's around a great deal today, because there are certain types of physical relationship that belong in marriage only. Boaz is careful with this, despite any temptation. But there's an obvious problem to him, the problem Naomi was probably trying to get around, the closer kinsman redeemer. And as much as Boaz may want to marry Ruth, especially as he's an older, unmarried man, and has probably been waiting for the right girl and now thinks he's found the right one. However, the other kinsman redeemer has the primary right to redeem under the law, to redeem the land, and also operate as the kinsman redeemer for Ruth and Naomi. Not following the law would make Boaz and Ruth vulnerable. It would take away the possibility of redemption. Laws are there for reasons. We can't meet as a church at the moment because of the law. Laws that are aimed to protect us and others. I don't like it. Especially given that the early church paid a huge price to keep meeting. It risked death, having property taken. It risked exile. However, there is good reason for the laws. So, in this situation, we will obey them for the limited time that they're in place. Boaz also decides to seek God's values, to seek the full redemption for Ruth and Naomi. And to do that, he needs to follow the law at whatever cost it may be for him. He takes Ruth's approach as her seeking the best, seeking redemption for her and Naomi. He explains the problem to her. He makes sure she leaves the threshing floor before anyone sees her. He gives her some barley to take back to Naomi. But he also promises that he will see to it that she and Naomi are redeemed. Verse 12, if you look at it, it says, although it is true that I am near of kin, there's a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night. And in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Ruth goes back to Naomi. Naomi wants to know what's happened. And when she hears, Boaz will sort it. That he won't rest until it's been sorted. Meanwhile, Boaz goes to the town gate, and waits for the kinsman redeemer. When the kinsman redeemer comes in, Boaz calls him over and summons the elders to have this out. In fact, chapter 4, verse 2 reads that Boaz said to the kinsman redeemer, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." There's no name given to the kinsman redeemer in any of Ruth. He's a John Doe, and names were important. Even now, names are important. A 19-year-old made hundreds of thousands from a business simply providing naming suggestions for Chinese babies. Having the right name is important to people. And names were far more important to the Israelites. They wanted their names to be remembered. So, Orpah, Ruth, Naomi, and all their husbands have their names listed. Mahlon, Elimelech, even Chilion, Orpah's husband, despite him having no descendants, are all remembered. They're all listed. So, why isn't the kinsman redeemer? Well, it's a narrative device. In fact, the Hebrew brings it out much stronger. The literal translation of the Hebrew would be something like a certain someone. In other words, the Hebrew reads, "Come over here, certain someone, and sit down." This sounds jarring in English. It is in Hebrew. It's not what Boaz actually said. But the narrators used it because the kinsman redeemer's names supposed to be forgotten. He's supposed to be a nobody. And the passage goes on to explain why. Boaz first offers the kinsman redeemer the land that Elimelech owned, which he's happy to redeem. It makes him look good. And as there are no heirs, he'll do well out of it. He'll get more land to add to his possession. At least until Boaz adds the sting in the tail. If you look at verse 5, Boaz says, "Then Boaz said, 'On the day you buy the land from Naomi and Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property.'" Boaz says the kinsman redeemer also has to take Ruth as his wife to maintain Naomi and Ruth's family line, to maintain the name of the dead with the land. Now, there were several complications with this. Firstly, Ruth had been Mahlon's wife for 10 years without producing offspring, so she could be barren. Additionally, the property deal no longer looked so good for the kinsman redeemer. He'd have to give it back to Elimelech's family and name his firstborn as part of their family line. There was no law to say he had to do this, but he was in front of the elders, and they would clearly see an offer to do this as preferable for Ruth and Naomi, for them to receive redemption. And while not matching the letter of the law, it was in keeping with all the principles behind the law. But the kinsman redeemer was not prepared to risk his name and line. He was not prepared to pay the cost. To risk his name. And he's clearly thinking, if Boaz is enough of a fool to risk his own line, then go ahead. Therefore, he tells Boaz, "You do it, buy it yourself," and removes his sandal to legalize the transaction. So Boaz is prepared to pay the cost that the kinsman redeemer is not. He'll put his family line at risk, risk his name becoming extinct by marrying Ruth to maintain the name of the dead. As he says in verse 10, "I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records." Boaz is prepared to put his name at risk so that others' names will not disappear. The kinsman redeemer is not. Yet, we're talking about and remembering Boaz now, and also all of Ruth's family. But the kinsman redeemer's name is not worth remembering. He was not prepared to risk his name and estate for the kingdom of God. Yet, his name was the one that disappeared. It should remind us of Jesus giving up everything for us on the cross, of Jesus dying for us. It should remind us of Jesus telling us in Matthew 16 that if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Ultimately, here, the book of Ruth asks us the question, are we more worried about the kingdom of God and its values, or holding on to what we have now, to what won't last? Are we more worried about our name, our family name, after we die, or seeking to be faithful to God and trusting him? Are we prepared to imitate Boaz and risk what we have to imitate Christ? Or are we too comfortable holding on to what we have? That is the question it asks us. What's our priority? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God who provides for us in Jesus, who provides redemption, and help us to be prepared to live out of it, to live for your glory rather than our own. Jesus' name, Amen.